Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're going to be focusing on the precious metals and precious metal stocks as I am chatting with Dave Erfley, founder and editor of the Junior Miner Junkie. Now Dave, let's discuss silver here because silver is starting to play some serious catch up. You and I had been chatting over the last couple weeks saying that the silver stocks were performing very well, also the gold stocks, and silver was still generally lagging. And you know what? You can still make the argument that silver has yet to break out even above the 2019 high of about 1975. But the move has been very strong off that washout bottom in March where silver reached a low of $11.64. Now silver's testing out this $18 level and just continues to show strength day after day. What are your comments on silver now playing some catch up?
Yeah, I mean, I alluded to this a few weeks ago that this is about to happen. And although you're correct that silver hasn't broken out, more importantly, the gold-silver ratio has broken down. It got up to about 120, 125 to 1, and now it's broken down, and it's broken down below 100 to 1 very quickly. And once it gets down to around 80 to 1, then these juniors really start to move. We're starting to see a bunch of them move already. But once the gold-silver ratio gets down around 80, then we're really going to see some movement, I think.
So, Dave, do you think that this move into silver is part of a more inflationary trade? Is it part of more retail or smaller investors getting into the metal sector? Or is it simply just the fact that silver lagged for so long and is now playing catch-up? What's driving this move?
Yeah, I think it's the inflation expectation. It's definitely investor investment. I mean, it's, you know, that's what moves silver the most is investment in the metal. And we're really starting to see that. You know, the premiums have been huge on silver, although the gold silver ratio at one point was 120 to 1 in the paper market. In the physical market, it was at the same time, it was about 77 to 1. So the physical market is moving this here, and also we're starting to see some short covering, I think, because there's plenty of room for speculators to get back into this sector because they were washed out when that stop loss trigger was hit, and the move, and then we had the deflationary move all the way down to almost to below $12. So what's driving this is investment demand. I mean, look at what Eric Sprott is doing also into these junior companies. I mean, he's putting all kinds of money into these smaller juniors and even the bigger ones, you know, Silvercrest and Mag and Discovery. And then he's gone down the food chain a little bit to even more microcap companies like Dolly Varden and a few others. So he's putting a lot of capital into these companies.
Now, Dave, how do you view some of the news releases and the news around Eric Sprott putting money into companies? I ask this because there are companies that promote the fact that, look, Eric bought into our stock. He now holds anywhere from 5% up to almost 20% in some shares. But in all fairness, he has so much money and came into so much money through some of his Kirkland Lake gains that he's just been spreading it around. It's almost a discrepancy if he doesn't have shares in a company, especially a silver company.
Yeah, I mean, I think he took about $650 million out of his Kirkland Lake deal, and he's spreading it around to mostly silver companies now. And if you see a company that really promotes the fact that Eric Sprott is in this, I mean, that is not something that you like to see. You like to see the reasons why he invested his money, not the fact of the company promoting that he did. Some of these companies like Discovery, which I'm a shareholder and I cover in my newsletter. The company has a huge project that's an optionality play because it needs higher silver prices, like most of these silver projects do, to be economic. And but it's all but it also is a drill play because they believe there's higher grade ounces on project. So obviously Eric must have some pretty good intel, and he believes the same thing because he owns nearly 25% of the company now. And once this deal closes, they're going to have over 40 million cash, and they're a microcap company before he started investing into it.
Now, what silver stocks or silver companies or sector of kind of silver stocks are you paying attention to? Where do you see the value, or do you see value in silver stocks right now?
Yeah, there's still plenty of value, but I'm not in producers per se. I own one stock that is a silver producer, but they recently acquired a gold project that they've put into production, and it's now in commercial production. And most of their income derives from gold now. But I think that the value is in the silver juniors that control margin projects that are big, and they're contained in big land packages, and they also are helmed by management teams that have access to capital. And we're starting to see that. We're starting to see a lot of capital come into this sector, not only from Eric Sprott, but from banks and other private investors as well. So I think that because these silver producers, they're still not making money here. You know, they're losing money producing silver. Until silver gets back over 1850, I think just about every silver company that produces is losing money, except for maybe Silvercrest and maybe Fortuna. But all the other ones are losing money.
So, Dave, yes, there is a huge financing window right now, and we're seeing a lot of companies, good and bad, raising money quite easily, it looks like. Do you see this financing window drying up? Do you think companies need to be raising money right now if they don't already have money? Or even on top of that, if they do have money, maybe enough for 1.5 years, should they be topping up?
Well, some are. Yes. I mean, when money's available, you take it, basically. And a lot of their share prices have already gone up to where the dilution is much more minimal than it would have been if they would have tried to cash up a few months ago. So, the money's there. You take it. And that's what they're doing.
Now, what about gold stocks, too? Because you look at something like GDX, and weakness is getting bought day after day. We haven't seen a 2 or 3 day significant drop in GDX in a little while, and the breakout is continuing. How are you playing the gold stocks right now?
I was fortunate enough to get myself and my subscribers into this sector before the breakout occurred in the GDX at 32. So we're pretty much done buying. You know, every once in a while I might sell something and put it into something else, but I don't like to do that. I don't like to trade impulse moves. The measured target on this impulse move in the GDX is the 50 region. And if you're fortunate enough to have completed your positions already and you're not accumulating, I don't recommend trying to trade this move. Like I said earlier, I think in another interview, if you're overweight, say majors or royalty plays or the lower risk producers that have already broken out and they're trading at 52 weeks high, and you're overweight these companies, you might want to take some profits and invest them down the food chain into developer explorers and some earlier stage explorers. But you just have to be very selective in the ones you choose.
So, Dave, is this sector, gold stocks in general, are they due for a pullback? Because you look at the chart and each one of their pullbacks over the last about month and a half have been relatively shallow and very short-lived. What do you think about the setup here?
Yeah, right where the GDX is trading right now in this 37-38 region, there is some resistance, so we could see a pullback here. But I see the downside limited to the 30-32 region. So I still think the risk is on the upside. So I think weakness will continue to be bought because there's still a lot of money out there on the sidelines. And also you're starting to see the GDX begin to outperform the stock market. So that means you're seeing people take money out of the stock market and putting it into gold stocks. So when you see that, when you start to see generalist capital move down the food chain, because, you know, these generalist investors, they've been in the sector a little bit via GDX, GDXJ, and GLD, but they haven't filtered much down into the juniors yet. I think we started to see that this week a little bit, and I think you're going to continue to see it as long as the GDX continues to climb towards that target of 50.
All right. Well, Dave, we're going to wrap it up there. Not much more to say other than this continues to be a very good environment for precious metals stocks. But you know what? It is also being supported by the U.S. equity markets. And yes, gold stocks are outperforming the markets as they are both moving up. Let's actually get your comment on that one, because I think that's a key distinction to understand that as U.S. markets are also being supported and moving higher, that's helping the gold stocks also move higher.
Absolutely. Yes, that is helping. I mean, you got two tailwinds kind of with gold here, you know. I mean, you've got the incredible stimulus that's coming into the markets from these central banks, especially the Federal Reserve, where their balance sheet is now up to $7 trillion and it's projected to be $10 trillion by the summer. So you have that at their back, and you also have the fear factor at gold's back as a safe haven currency, as people are expecting when is the next shoe going to drop as these economic numbers come out that are atrocious and they're going to be really bad for Q2. So I know some of these economies are starting to open, but these unemployment figures that are being thrown out here are horrendous, and so. Has both the fear factor and the stimulus factor pushing it higher.
Yes, it does. And again, just a good environment right now to be a precious metals investor. And it actually hasn't mattered whether you're in the big guys or the small guys. They've both been moving higher. And a lot of money is being raised. So that should support, unfortunately, even some of the bad companies, but also the good companies continuing to move forward. Dave, good chatting with you. I will post a link to your website below so everyone can find out a little bit more about the Junior Miner Junkie, which I am a subscriber of. Thanks for your time today, Dave. Have a great rest of your week.
Thank you, Corey. You too.